Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together. We work together. We respect each other. We like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios in San Francisco. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV. Often imitated, never duplicated, 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. I'm also an award-winning writer and four-time Golden Glove boxing champion. So supposedly, allegedly, I know a little bit about boxing. But this is the time of the show. At the top of every hour, I invite you, the listener, to join us on the toll-free. Because if you think you know more, you can school me or school the listeners, let us know. We want to hear from you. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. That number, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Well, in this hour of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, we'll go back in time with one of my buddies. Of course, one of my boxing, God, we go back like 50 years, a half a century, talk about Jacob Stitch Duran. Jake Stitch Duran for short. Of course, Stitch in three Rocky movies, a cut man for Antonio Tarver in one of the recent Rocky movies, no doubt about that. A premier cut man in the world of boxing and mixed martial arts. So Stitch will join us about 22 minutes past the hour. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, coming to you on Sports Byline. Of course, Sports Byline USA will come to you live, the video, on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. You can catch us live and delayed. Twitch.tv, Sports Byline USA channel, of course, the live and delayed streaming video of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Speaking of the WBC, don't forget their interactive website, WBCBoxing.com. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, but hey, you know that.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
12 minutes past the hour. This is hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV, brought to you by the World Boxing Council. You can check out their interactive website, of course, brought to you by the president, Mauricio Sulaiman, at WBCBoxing.com. That's WBCBoxing.com. The UFC was rocking and rolling last night in Las Vegas. Of course, they were on ESPN Plus and ESPN. Speaking of ESPN Plus, the price of the app, the best deal in the entire world, I thought at $4.99. It's probably going to still be the best deal in the world at $6.99, but they're raising the price next month, so that app is going up. Of course, DAZN started off at like $9 a month, and it went up to $20 a month for those of you that didn't continue to hold the zone through that pandemic. I don't know how long they're going to grandfather that $9.99 a month rate in, but the bottom line is $9.99 still. Anyway, bottom line was last night ESPN was on, ESPN had the UFC rock and roll, and the former bantamweight champion, TJ Dillashaw, Mr. Cheat himself, of course, took 2 years off because he was cheating. He got caught taking steroids against Henry Cejudo. Remember that? Got beat up like Henry, like, it wasn't what, anyway, the bottom line is TJ, I'm not into guys that cheat. I'm just not, especially when you're cheating when it comes to combat sports, because, you know, we're hurting people. If a guy cheated to hurt me, the most cheating I did was my mother snuck espresso into the dressing room for me. That was it. She would sneak us. She was like all hiding it, like it was crank or some drug or some kind of stuff. She would sneak espresso into the dressing room for me. She tried to keep it warm. She had a thermos for one thermos. My mother had it together. She had a thermos for one tournament. Listen, I just poured the stuff over her. So that was pretty cool. But outside of that, we didn't cheat. Cheating just wasn't happening, okay? But if you cheat in combat sports, it's not like cheating in an exam at school. It's not like cheating at golf. It's not like cheating at baseball. It's not, you're not hitting home runs. You're hitting people. Okay? So if you're hitting people and you've got a distinct advantage in cardiovascular recovery, you know, maybe the HGH is going on, or you got some performance enhancing drugs going on as far as steroids and, you know, testosterone, that sort of, which is really at the bottom line of all that stuff as far as, anabolic steroids. Testosterone is like the main motivating drug, the fiend. That's what drives everything. No doubt about that. In fact, you know, speaking of testosterone, a friend of mine is a biker. Actually, he isn't a friend of mine. He's a relative, but he's a biker. And I don't mean like a, you know, motorcycle biker. He's a bicyclist. Like, you know, he like climbs mountains, runs like, drives like 100 miles a day and this and that. So he thought that if he took testosterone replacement therapy, because somebody recommended it to him, it would help out his timing as far as his bike was concerned. Well, anyway, it didn't work out that way. He woke up with cold sweats and all kinds of weird stuff, and he was sexually motivated at times when he didn't want to be sexually motivated and things like that. So I guess it's, if you're sexually down, the testosterone replacement therapy is for you. But if you're sexually okay, probably not. Anyway, the bottom line is he quit. My cousin quit after about a month and a half when he was getting all these freaky side effects. Anyway, speaking of freaky side effects, 50-year-old former WBA Cruiserweight champion won an international title last night. Farhat Aslan, he's now 49-3. Take that back, 49-9, 3 draws, 34 KOs. Won a fourth-round KO over a journeyman, Ruben Eduardo Acosta, 38-18. Of course, that was Saturday night in Copenhagen, Germany. Bottom line is, the reason why I brought that up is that Germany is rocking and rolling. It just is. I think Germany is going to be at the center as far as boxing is concerned. Outside of the UK and Europe, Germany is going to be number two. I think there's going to be more shows in Germany. I think the promoters there, Sonderland and people like that, are going to start to put together more shows post-pandemic. I think people are hungry for post-pandemic. Speaking of post-pandemic, you know, I had a dance I was going to do July the 3rd. And somebody asked me, you know, why did you pull the plug on that dance? And somebody told me you were selling tickets. Yeah, we sold a bunch of tickets. I had promises for probably about 350 tickets were promised. No, 100 were sold, but 350 tickets were promised. But the bottom line is, I was running into people that told me that, you know, I said, you're going to get vaccinated? No. Well, we don't want you there if you're not vaccinated. Well, I'll bring a card that says I'm vaccinated. Say what? Well, I'll bring a card that says I'm vaccinated. Wait. You're telling me that you're going to a fraudulent card? Don't worry about it. It ain't none of your business. Yeah, it is my business, because I don't want people getting sick at my event. So the fact that these undocumented or unvaccinated folks wanted to come to my event, it would probably maybe screw things up, make it a super spreader. I mean, would that be a good promotional legacy for me? The fact that I hosted some event and a lot of people got sick because they came unvaccinated, or they got the vaccinated sick when they came unvaccinated. The bottom line is, I decided to pull the event. And last night I went to a club here in the city by. Actually, I went to two clubs last night. Actually, check this out. I started out following this lady. I'm supposed to follow, I'm a PI. So I'm supposed to, private investigator. So I'm supposed to follow this lady into Walnut Creek. So I follow her into Walnut Creek, or I get to Walnut Creek, and she decides she's going home. So I'm not going to follow her. Obviously, I follow her back to her house. That's not going to happen. So I'm all decked out, dressed to the nines, the whole nine yards. I said, I'm going to go somewhere. So I went to this place called The Ramp in the city and saw my old buddy from Cortland Avenue, Orlando Salazar, and Eddie Posada. So me and these guys go back to like 1970, somewhere around 1970, 69, somewhere around there. Bottom line is, we were the original Cortland Avenue boys. This was a district of San Francisco, Bernal Heights district, of course, that's now exclusively really rich and uppity and yuppity and all that kind of good stuff. But the bottom line is, we are three of the original Cortland guys who were still rock and rolling. So I wanted to say hello to them, took a picture with them last night at The Ramp. And then I saw them later at the 9 Mile House. So evidently, we still going to the same places 50 years later. I kid you not. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. So Dillashaw was the winner last night. TJ Dillashaw, the cheat, was the winner, of course, off for 2 years, came back at 135 pounds, where he had held the 135-pound title at one point in time, beat Corey Sandhagen on a split decision. The judges had it 2-1. It was a 3-2. I think it was 3-2. But one judge had it 3-2 for Dillashaw. Then another judge had it 3-2 for Sandhagen, and the third judge had it 3-2 for Dillashaw. I mean, he had a split decision when two of the three judges go one way. The bottom line is, it was a pretty spirited battle. Dillashaw fought with a severe cut. I mean, a nasty cut from like the second or the third round on. Of course, these are 5-minute rounds of World of Mixed Martial Arts. So I give him props for that. His conditioning was, his cardio was through the roof, but I just don't like guys that cheat. In the co-feature, a bantamweight event as well, 135 pounds. Raleigh Ampava beat Kylie Phillips. That was on it. Kyler Phillips on a unanimous, take that back, a unanimous majority decision across the board. One judge had it even, 28-28. As far as the rest of the card is concerned, yikes. Not a whole lot of names there. Mickey Gall. Remember Mickey Gall? He beat, CM Punk. CM Punk, the former WWE star, of course, he's talking about coming back to All Elite Wrestling or something like the AEW. But he's talking, but then he was a WWE star, decided he was going to take his hand in the world of mixed martial arts. So they decided to take on this Mickey Gall guy as far as their first opponents. Of course, well, Mickey Gall ruined his night, no doubt about that. But last night, Mickey Gall was a winner, a submission, a rear naked choke over a guy by the name of Jordan Williams. Of course, that was on the UFC card in Las Vegas, Nevada. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. Coming up next, of course, the heavyweight champion of Cutman. I'm talking about Jacob Stitch Duran. They just call him Stitch. Bottom line is, I knew him before they called him Stitch. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Little Tower, back to back. Lenny Williams to the break.
I licked my finger, put it up in the wind to see which way my fate was blowing. I'm walking through Hollywood, trying to find something good. Bumping down Sunset, never guess who I just met. Took my number, said he'd give me a ring to check out.
Now, more Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Now the fun begins.
23, make it 24 minutes past the hour. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Hour number two, of course, July 25th, 2020. Take that, yeah, July 25th, 2021. This is a Sunday edition. 2 hours, of course. We start at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio Channel 217, like 1,000 other internet platforms. And we come to you live as far as the video stream is concerned at twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Now, we take it from the city by the bay, some say the city by the gay, to Las Vegas, Nevada, Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada, and bring in one of my good friends, Jacob Stitch Duran. Stitch, how's life treating you?
Oh, I'm doing good, Pedro. Thanks for having me on again. You know, it's always nice to spend Sunday afternoon with Pedro.
Okay, let's talk about Dennis Alexio, man. I mean, he was a kickboxing king, and you were promoting kickboxing back in the day. Talk about Alexio and how he made his way through the world of kickboxing.
Yeah, I tell you, it was a pleasure to work with him, you know, until MMA fighters came into my life. He was the best athlete I'd ever seen. You know, they retired his high school number and football and baseball. But yeah, a great athlete. You know, it was good working with him. And it's funny you bring up Dennis Alexio, because I'll be doing a show in Sacramento August the 6th. And the promoter is Nasser Navarone, that used to be the sparring partner for Dennis. And I'd worked his fights also. So that's the, looks like the full circle is coming around.
60, get this, his record, get this what? 68 wins, 2 losses, 1 draw, and 68 knockouts. No, let me get 72 total fights, 68, 2-1 with 1 no contest. Yikes, 63 knockouts.
Yeah, you know, Pedro, and the majority of those knockouts were brutal. He had a great turning back kick. He had great body shots, you know, and I think as a boxer, he's like 12-1 or 12-2 and all that. But, I tell you, powerful. Everything he did was with power.
Yeah, because I remember I used to read Jack Fisk column, and Jack used to say, Dennis Alexio, kickboxing champion. And, you know, Jack used to downplay the kickboxing aspect of combat sports back then because it wasn't the norm.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, kickboxing just never really picked up like it did in Europe and all that. But nonetheless, you know, it was nice to at least to probably be one of those pioneers that did kickboxing there. Because, you know, I work with Ray Odonio, that was a great boxer, converted into kickboxing, you know. And just it was nice to work with a lot of different fighters.
I thought Ray was a little bit overrated as a boxer. But anyway, on that's just on a personal note. On a kickboxing note, you know who I really thought had good crossover capabilities, but he just couldn't make it, was this guy, and he was a United States champion at one point in time, Dale Apollo Cook. Remember him out of Oklahoma? You remember him?
Yeah. Very fancy kicks and everything. And, you know, if he would have been that made the transition, he would have been the guy that was on his toes all the time, and you'd have to cut off his ankles.
No doubt about that. So what are you doing these days? That's why, I mean, I see you on TV often, but are you signed with this company or signed with that company or a free agent? What's going on?
Yeah, well, I stay as a free agent, but, you know, I unfortunately, you know, we should have been talking about the Tyson Fury-Deontay Wilder fight, the experience that I had in the dressing room and during the fights. But as you can tell, you know, Tyson tested positive for COVID, so that fight was out. But, no, I'm doing good, but I, you know, they're starting to reshoot or to they're starting to film the documentary that they're doing on me. It's called Based on the Book, From the Fields to the Garden. So next week I'll be going back to Planada, where I grew up as a farm worker, and they'll be interviewing friends and family and what have you not. And then at that same point, they're interviewing Andre Ward and Virgil Hunter, Cain Velasquez, and Javier Mendez, which were kickboxers, and of course, and then Nate Diaz. So it should be exciting. And doing that and, you know, just kind of working with a CBD company that created a cream for cuts for the healing process, and that continues to grow. And, you know, got my own product line, Stitch Premiums, which is available at Cutman for Hire Supplies. But, you know, the brand that I created, Pedro, now people are noticing that there's some value in showing my face or my experience. So doing things. I got a couple movies in the pipeline. And so, yeah, I've been blessed, man. You know, this pandemic kicked in, and I did like 34 shows with Top Rank and have another one with them August the 14th. So I've been blessed, man. I thank God like you every day, you know. And here I am talking to you.
You know, another that female sprinter was excluded from the Olympics because of weed, this and that. You know, it's sort of like legal in so many states and this and that, but yet people still go to prison for weed in Texas and Florida.
Oh, yeah, if I remember, I think in Texas before, that was like an executional crime. they just don't change. But it's funny you bring up that, because there was a company that contacted me that I met with, actually, and I went and saw their growing patterns. But it's a CBD and cannabis company, and, you know, we're still in the stages of, you know, they want me to work in the CBD business with them. But I'm already hooked up with CBD in it with that cut cream. But nonetheless, you know, they were talking about maybe using my name as in some cannabis products, like the rolling papers would be called the Wrap, you know, by Stitch. You know?
That's pretty cool.
And I told this one scientist that puts all these formulas together and the different cannabises. I said, you know, of all the weed I ever smoked throughout my life was when I was in Thailand. I said, if you could create a strain like that, we could call it Thai Stitch. You know, so we'll see what happens, Pedro.
I'm gonna tell you the secret off air one of these days about the weed from Thailand. I'll tell you right now, the reason why it was so good is it was dipped in opium, and that's the honest to God truth, because one of the Hallinan brothers got caught for trying to smuggle 20 tons of the stuff back into the United States from over there. But the bottom line is that weed, the reason why it was so good is that it was dipped in opium.
Well, that's what they said, man. But, you know, shit, we smoked that
hair. Ooh, watch the language. Thai Stitch. Stitch.
Yeah, anyway. But boxing is good. You know, I saw Dave Feldman when Mayweather fought Miami, and I hadn't been doing the bare knuckle fights because of this COVID and the traveling. But hopefully I'll be back with them in August.
Now, the bare knuckle fight, is that a sport, or is it really a sport? I mean, how do you strategize a bare knuckle fight?
Yeah, it is a sport, and I tell you what, I'm a big fan of it just for the entertainment value as a fan. But, you know, when I first started working with them in their first event, everybody was going to the head, you know, and breaking their hands or having injuries. But now they realize that, you know, you work from the cheek down, the body up, and, you know, you'll still end up with sore hands and all that. But, yeah, cuts are pretty much guaranteed.
Because that's a good one. I'm a cut man. Cuts are pretty much guaranteed. In other words, the work is good, no doubt about that. So as far as bare knuckles concerned, have they done okay as far as their pay-per-view numbers concerned? I mean, are they making money, or are they losing?
No, I think, you know, Dave Feldman does a great job, man. I wish, you know, all these promoters were like him. But
what's his name again?
Dave Feldman.
Okay.
From Philadelphia originally. And yeah, super, super guy, man. And but I think Shaquille has partnered up with them. And, you know, now they're making models or those little statues of the fighters and all that. So, yeah, they're doing a good job, man. They're kind of doing it a lot faster than what the UFC did when it came to growth.
Stitch, when it comes to performance-enhancing drugs, I got a problem with them in the world of combat sports, because if you're hitting baseballs, that's cool. If you're hitting golf balls, that's cool. If you're swimming, okay, you can cheat this and that. But if you're hitting other people and you've got a distinct advantage over the other guy, I got a problem with that. I have a problem with it. TJ Dillashaw came back after a 2-year suspension for steroids. Of course, he took in that fight with Henry Cejudo. And speaking of Henry Cejudo, the reason why I bring him up is that he, former bantamweight and flyweight champion of the UFC, he just sort of walked away from Dana White because Dana wouldn't pay him any money, huh?
Yeah, that's from what I understand. You know, there's a big issues now, you know, with all that being exposed, which was always exposed, but now you're getting people that are bringing up those, you know, those moments. Jake Paul is a big advocate on fair pay. You know, I'm a fair advocate on fair pay.
Me too.
It's the only way it should, you know, so.
But the USC made $279 million last year, and I call him a pimp, and that's just my opinion, being a former police officer. I know some good pimps. I knew some good pimps, and Dana White is the pimp of all pimps. I mean, any pimp that can get his client to work for 8 to 10 cents on a dollar is like an incredible negotiator, but that's the leverage that Dana White has over these guys. They made $279 million. They grossed $279 million last year, did the USC, and according to stats, only maybe 10% of that, maybe 12% of that went to the fighters. Man, there's something's wrong. We need to do an NFL type of thing with the UFC.
Yeah, I think, you know, the average that, you know, article that I read before and all that, you know, they were getting paid like 18%, where no, 18. All these other major sports, they're at, you know, 49, 50, 51%. So, yeah, the program has to be changed for sure. You know, I mean, how much money can you make without sharing the profits and, you know, what's only fair is fair. And unfortunately, all these guys are independent contractors. So, you know, if it didn't have the initials UFC, these guys, you know, they wouldn't take a hit as much as they have. You know, a lot of these guys are doing it because to reach that plateau of UFC is instrumental in a career-changing moment for them.
True, but you've got guys like Jorge Masvidal that sells out Madison Square Garden in like a couple of hours. He gets $500,000 and a $50,000 bonus.
Oh, no, I'm with you 100%. You know, I made that comment when Ben Askren got $500,000 just to fight Jake Paul and get knocked out early. You know, so that's a big disparity there.
Now, speaking of Jake Paul, I was sort of thinking he was a negative on boxing, but the fact is he got more people looking at boxing than probably would be looking at boxing before, and they're squares. And I'm big for bringing squares into boxing, but squares spend money and they buy tickets.
Oh, listen, I'm a big advocate. Maybe because I've done all the shows, right? And but I see the value behind it on a marketing aspect. Someone like The Zone that works on subscription, you know, and the first one I did, KSI and Logan Paul, and I think both of them had like 20 million followers each. To me, that was unbelievable. But if you get a small percentage of those that link on to the Zone to watch that fight, then they made a lot of money, you know. So, yeah, it's the changing of the time.
Real quick, the Zone, it looks like Canelo and Caleb Plant, September 18th, is going to go on pay-per-view, some type of Showtime or Fox pay-per-view instead of going on the Zone. So he is the ultimate free agent, isn't he?
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, he's a blue-chip fighter, that's for sure.
Okay. Well, I want to wish you the very best of luck. Of course, you're always rocking and rolling down there in Las Vegas. Of course, you were like one of the few people that moved to Vegas that we probably need still here in California, but we'll get by. We'll get by, no doubt about that. Say hello to your lovely wife for me. I know the family's good and stay healthy and this kind of stuff, man. And anytime you want to spend some time with me, Stitch, you just give me a call. You know that.
All right, I love it. Thank you, Pedro. Appreciate it.
The great Jacob Stitch Duran, folks. Cut Man Extraordinary. Check him out on Facebook, Jacob Stitch Duran. Of course, he's like the Cut Man to the stars, the undisputed heavyweight champion of Cut Man when it comes to both boxing and mixed martial arts. I kid you not. In the story, of course, Sonny Morrison, one of my early trainers as far as boxing was concerned. I think I lost one fight with Sonny in the corner. Anyway, he went to Sonny and said, "Can you teach me how to be a cut man?" And Sonny said, "No, go learn somewhere else." He did go learn somewhere else. He became a superstar. Sonny never made it past the club level. Bottom line is, karma, baby! You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Monster on a leash to the break!
Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council. You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC, right here on Sports Byline.
Mr. Dana White, wherever you are, I have a hit list, but I want to start getting paid. I want to start making heavyweight money.
And all these fighters that are, you know, they share in the revenue. They do share in the revenue. They have they have the upside in the pay-per-view, you know?
That's how much we believe Dana White's bullspit there. When I say bullspit, change a P to an H. No doubt about that. Dana's full of it. Now, I want to mention another happy birthday to DeVero Williamson. And the reason why I mentioned DeVero Williamson is I called him Deveril Williamson on ESPN television one night as a ring announcer. I just choked his name. I mean, of all the times you're on ESPN TV, it's a live main event. I think we were doing this from Atlantic City or somewhere on the East Coast. Anyway, maybe New York City, the Small Garden, I think. Anyway, bottom line is I choked his name. I saw the reaction on his face because you're looking at the guy as you're announcing him. You're like, Joe Smith, anybody? Yeah, DeVero Williamson. And I said, Deveril. Instead of DeVero, Deveril. And that went over on ESPN TV. And of course, everybody in the crowd. And he had the ugly face and the whole nine yards. But today's happy birthday to him. Of course, 27-8, 23 KOs. Bottom line is time to talk boxing history. You know, Sean Porter and welterweight. I think he's a WBC title holder, I believe. I'm not sure. I think he holds one of the belts. But the bottom line is Sean Porter is a decent fighter, no doubt about that. A strong, up-and-coming, in-your-face type of welterweight. Of course, he's going to take on the unbeaten Terrence Crawford. Of course, Terrence Crawford comes to us from Omaha, Nebraska. Of course, Omaha, Nebraska is a hotbed for boxing. It's not. Anyway, he could sell about 9,000 seats in Omaha if seats were like at 10 bucks a pop. Outside of that, he can't sell. He can't make much money. None of them people get excited about Terrence Crawford. Hector says he's a great fighter. Socrates Palmer says he's a great fighter. Listen, well, if you're a great fighter, you've got to beat great fighters in order to become a great fighter. In other words, it's all about who's on your resume. Who are your dance partners? I mean, Leonard wouldn't have been great without fighting the great fighters that he fought. Hagler, same thing. Marvin Hagler, of course. And then, of course, Crawford told me on that tour to Cuba we did, like, I guess 4 or 5 years ago, you know, I want to be remembered with the great fighters, with Duran, Roberto Duran, and Sugar Ray Leonard, and Marvin Hagler, and Tommy Hearns, and guys like that. And I said to him, in order to do that, you've got to fight great fighters. But he doesn't want to fight great fighters. I mean, Sean Porter's not a great fighter. He could have made the fight with Errol Spence. Okay, he could have made the fight with Errol Spence. They could have negotiated this. They were both stuck at this 60, one person wanted 60%, the other person wanted 40%, all right? They could have worked that out to make it 50-50 if they wanted to. But Crawford, I don't think he was all that game for getting that fight. He still really didn't want the fight because that would be a truly test of his mettles. Because the bottom line is Terrence Crawford's fights, for the most part, are fights that we know he's going to win. I mean, outside of Yuri Gamboa, you know, who's on his resume? And Gamboa's not no candidate for the International Boxing Hall of Fame. So I'm going to go back to it. You've got to fight great fighters in order to become a great fighter. I mean, Marvin Hagler fought all those guys growing up. And of course, he beat Bobby Boogaloo Watts, who beat him early on, and Willie the Worm Monroe. I think he had a decision over Marvin Hagler as a professional as well, but he came back and he beat those two guys. In fact, the only guy that he didn't beat in his entire career that beat him, was Sugar Ray Leonard. Of course, that was his last fight, April of 1987. But Marvin Hagler, he fought Juan Roldan. Juan Roldan did have him on the floor. Questionable knockdown, but the bottom line is Roldan could crack. I mean, he fought some big guys. John the Beast Mugabe. I thought that was a fight that basically ruined Marvin Hagler. I really do. It was 1985. It was 1985. And no, take it back. Anyway, bottom line is the Mugabe fight was just too much for Hagler. He stood there toe to toe, went war to war, back and forth with this guy that could punch like crazy. I mean, John the Beast Mugabe couldn't box very well, but he could punch. He was a natural puncher, okay? And Hagler said, you know what, I could beat him in his own game. He took unnecessary punishment down the road. But of course, that set him up for the loss to Sugar Ray Leonard later. I'm telling you, the Thomas the Hitman Hearns fight, of course, that took place in 1985. The Mugabe fight took place in 1986. The Leonard fight took place in 1987. They were all once a year fights for Marvin Hagler back in the day, of course, when Marvin was the king of boxing, pound for pound king, no doubt about that, of course. But then again, the controversial fight with Ray Leonard. And the reason why I'm bringing up Marvin Hagler is that I keep getting these emails, Pedro, discuss the Ray Leonard fight for us as far as Marvin Hagler is concerned. How did it turn out being 7-5 as far as Ray Leonard was concerned? Listen, it's not too hard. I don't know why this is such a controversial decision in boxing history. September, 18th, 1981, something like that. Tommy Hearns weighs in 145.3 pounds. He's light. He's supposed to weigh 147. In other words, they were upstairs in the sauna. They converted their bathroom at Caesar's Palace in the mansion, the little suite they had up there. They converted it into a sauna room by turning on the shower and keeping the steam in the room. Right? So they steamed Tommy down to 145.3 pounds instead of 147. Major error by Emanuel Stewart, the Kronk Goldfather. No doubt about the Hall of Fame trainer. That was a major gaffe. No doubt about that. Bringing his tall, lean, lanky guy in it, almost a pound and a half under. No, that's a bad move. Of course, and then he went out and told Tommy to box Ray Leonard. I mean, why would you do that? You're the hit man. You're destroying guys. You're knocking people dead. Good Lord, man. If you hit anybody, they're going to sleep. Ask Pepino Cuevas. Now, I'm not trying to say that Pepino Cuevas and Ray Leonard are on the same levels. There's no doubt about that. Ray Leonard is in a different level than Pepino Cuevas. What I'm trying to tell you is that you don't deviate your style. You don't go away from what brought you to the dance. And that's what Tommy the Hitman Hearns did. He became Tommy the Boxer. And then, of course, in the sixth round, he became Tommy, not the Hitman, but the Hurt Man when he took that body shot. He took that massive body shot because that shot to the ribs sort of cracked the rib from that point forward. He was fighting sort of frail and didn't want to commit himself and things like that. Couldn't throw. He couldn't throw at that point in time because that body shot took it out of him. Of course, he was stopped in the 14th round. And my man, Davy Pearl, was a referee. Man, Davy was a good guy. He was, of course, the bellman. Him and his brother were twins, I believe, and they were both bellmen in Las Vegas hotels, and that's how they sort of made their medals in the 1940s as bellmen originally. And, of course, Davy became a big insurance guy down there in Las Vegas. But Davy Pearl was a referee to stop Leonard Hearns. Tommy Hearns wasn't bitching, didn't say a word. Manuel Stewart wasn't saying nothing. They knew he was a beat man. But he didn't have to lose that night. He didn't have to. And these guys that fight Ray Leonard, they get mind screwed. And they just do, and they do what Ray wants them to do. Ray says, box me because I'm the best boxer in the world. So they box him. Doesn't make any sense. You're not going to beat the best boxer in the world, especially when you're the best puncher in the world. And that's what Tommy Hearns was. And without a doubt, the hardest puncher in the history of the welterweight division. Nobody hit harder than him. Nobody. Ask Roberto Duran at 154. He almost killed Duran at 154, okay? That was a mismatch in size. People say to me, yeah, your boy Roberto Duran got beat by Tommy the Hitman Hearns. Yeah, but he beat Iran Barkley, who beat Tommy Hearns not once but twice. Of course, Tommy beat Tommy in June of 1988 by knockout. And then, of course, in the rematch at 175 pounds, he beat him over a decision, did Iran Barkley. Speaking of Iran the Blade Barkley, somebody told me in the last couple of weeks that he has some prostate cancer issues, and we wish him the very best. Of course, a champion at 160, 168, and 175. He says he belongs in there with a group with Duran, Leonard, Hagler, Hearns. Not quite. But the bottom line is, you're a notable fighter. Do you belong in the International Boxing Hall of Fame? Who really doesn't, as far as these great fighters are concerned? I mean, think about that. Some of these great, great fighters, I mean, do they deserve accolades? Without a doubt. Do they get them? Probably not. For the most part, most fighters like Danny Little Red Lopez, I was thinking about him the other day, of course, the former world featherweight champion, WBC champion down there in Southern California, a creation, a product of Don Chargan and promoter Eileen Eaton at the Olympic Auditorium. Of course, they got him a lot of fights against guys who were like Scott Cuddy and guys like that, and maybe a little tougher than Cuddy, but they get him fights with guys like that, and of course, they build up his record, and then he rumbled for the title, he won the title, but you know, when he got lit up by Salvador Sanchez, that was like, he should have been arrested for like assault with a deadly weapon. He beat on Lopez that bad. I mean, he just really did. And Danny Little Red Lopez, in my mind, really wasn't worthy of being, I don't think he was that great of a fighter. So when you talk about Sanchez winning the title against Danny Little Red Lopez, I say, well, so what about Danny Little Red Lopez? Maybe his brother, Indian Red Lopez, Ernie Indian Red Lopez, might have been better than him. Who knows? Anyway, you're tuning to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. Somebody asked me, what's happening with John Jones? Of course, the MMA superstar, the undefeated lad, both at light heavyweight, now fighting in heavyweight, but he isn't fighting. He says he's going to wait out his year contract with the UFC and fight sometime in 2022. Does that mean he'll fight with the UFC? He wants to fight with Francis Ngannou. Ngannou being the undefeated, the unbeatable, he's been beaten three times. But he's unbeatable, I think, right now as far as UFC is concerned. Francis Ngannou is a monster. In fact, I think Francis Ngannou has got enough power and pop to contend in today's heavyweight division as far as heavyweight boxers are concerned. This is the UFC champion. Of course, I don't consider the UFC, I got problems with Dana White, but the athletes are different. And this guy, Francis Ngannou, is special. Of course, he lost that Stipe Miocic fight the first time for the heavyweight title. Of course, he had Miocic out in the first round and lost a five-round decision because he got gassed. Of course, he came back and abused Miocic in a rematch. He just abused him and, of course, took the title back. He is the world heavyweight champion. But the fight people want to see in the world of mixed martial arts or this caged world of fighting is Jon Jones. They want to see Jon Jones, the kid, of course, training a kid. Young man, 34 years old now, training out of Albuquerque, New Mexico, of course, originally out of upstate New York. He's had his problems both in and out of the cage, more out of the cage than in the cage. Actually, in the cage, he's only lost one fight, and that was a disqualification fight. Of course, I think he elbowed somebody on the ground. But outside of that, Jon Jones is unbeaten, okay? Of course, him and Ngannou is a super fight. But I think that for some reason he's going to try to screw Dana White out of this one. And more power to Jon Jones, because if he could take a year off and still come back and contend and make the kind of money he thinks he should be making against Francis Ngannou, more power to him, because he's challenging the big boy. He's challenging the big boy for all the marbles, okay, the UFC marbles. But you've got to have Dana White involved. Or maybe Ngannou's contract is going to come out, is going to expire in the next year or so, and maybe he could walk away from the UFC as well, because an independent fight set up by a promoter, which that fight would sell millions of buys. Absolutely no doubt about it. If you think Jake Paul can sell buys, if you think Floyd Mayweather against Stiffs can sell buys, I'm telling you, Vitor Belfort and Oscar De La Hoya can sell buys. That can sell buys, no doubt about that. Speaking of pay-per-view, as I said earlier, Canelo Alvarez going to pay-per-view September 18th with Caleb Plant. Of course, Caleb Plant, the undefeated lad, 168-pound WBA champion, coming to us from, I think it's Nashville, Tennessee, now training in Las Vegas, Nevada. Somebody sent me a text here. What chance does Caleb Plant have? Like Don King says, slim and none, and slim's out of town. He got no chance whatsoever. I mean, the fact that he's trying to over-negotiate himself in this fight is stupid. What I'm trying to say is get as much money as you can, but don't negotiate your way out of the fight, pal, because much like Dane's Page, you wind up getting knocked out for $100,000. Not when you can make multi-million dollars as far as Canelo Alvarez is concerned. And speaking of welterweights, if these go back to the welterweights, I've got a text here. As far as Crawford and Spence is concerned, my guy here, Andy, thinks that Crawford beats Spence hands down. Spence is going to have his hands full, no doubt about that. Manny Pacquiao, because of the style. The style is going to present problems for him. I think the fact that he's left-handed, Manny holds that shoulder up this night. He throws that left cross really, really well, and he throws a right hook. And believe me, right hooks are a killer. Ernie Chavez beat the snot out of me with three punches in Las Vegas at the Showboat Hotel back in 1984 in the National Golden Glove Tournament. I kid you not. And all three were right hooks. I didn't see him. I just didn't see him coming. We train with southpaws. There's no doubt about it. You train with southpaws, and somehow it's queer. It's just this. I switch back and forth from southpaw to orthodox to southpaw this and then, or maybe fighting in the middle and square. But the bottom line is, you think you've really trained for a southpaw. You say to yourself, I've really got this down. I know what I'm doing. I'll keep my hands up. I know to look out for the right hooks. I know to look for those straight left hands. And then somehow, when you get in there, it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. I knew guys that couldn't beat left-handers. Andy Nance in particular, of course, the former number one ranked Ring Magazine junior welterweight in the world. Of course, he got that title because he knew people and not because of what he could do. But the bottom line is he couldn't beat left-handers. He used to spar me in the gym. I used to beat him. He used to tell me, man, don't spar left-handers. Don't spar left-handers. So what happened? 3 weeks later, he goes and fights Eddie Nuno in South Lake Tahoe, Nevada, and loses a decision to a southpaw. You wouldn't train with left-handers, and you brought that on yourself. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Talent of the break.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You hear that funky sound there? That is the funky doctor himself, Stephen Mackenzie Kupka, playing the baritone sax, of course, one of the founding members of Tower of Power. Upcoming fights in the world of boxing, of course, Conor Benn, the son of Nigel Benn, of course, unbeaten, I believe, at 147 pounds, taking 154 pounds, taking on Adrian Granados. That's going to be on DAZN July 31st. Conor's a good-looking fighter. Of course, it's tough for these guys, with the exception of Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., who will never live up to his father's name, but it's tough for these guys to fight in their father's shadow. It's just tough, man, because your father's a world champion. Your father's a real deal. And then people got to look at you through a prism that you're really not going to be what your father was because hunger is not involved. Like I told you with Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., he lived in a mansion where they had people waiting on him left and right. People cooked his food, the whole nine yards. I kid you not, okay? His father lived in a railroad car. He took a pee outside in a can. That's why he lived in Tijuana. I kid you not. So, big difference between Julio Jr. and Julio Sr. And as far as today's fighters are concerned, that's basically what's happening as far as second generation is concerned, because you're just not as hungry as your father was. Michael Coffey is a heavyweight to keep an eye on, because unbeaten July 31st. He's going to go on Fox Sports, taking on Gerald Washington, of course, is a veteran. Mike the Bounty Hunter, I did his father's fight in Southern California, Z Channel, taking on Mike Wilson. Mike the Bounty Hunter was a hell of a head case. We went to China somehow. We blew his knee out. He ended up selling his passport, I believe. Was he the one that sold his passport? No, he wasn't the one that sold his passport. Sir Jabalot sold his passport. Sir Jabalot said he lost his passport, but I was told he sold his passport for $2,500. That was Keith McCurry. Keith denies it to the day, but the bottom line is all these little scandals happen when you run around the planet. Of course, all over the world, I've been 34 countries doing boxing. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the longest running fight show in history. My name is Pedro Fernandez. On behalf of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network and my producer, Scott Cuddy, I thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget, Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, and 24/7 on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, for the video feed. Thank you so much for tuning in.